then starting at verse 8, the Lord has been so far here in chapter 11 is leading to go at 7 verses at a time. So we'll be looking at verses 8 through 14 today. In the book of Proverbs, I've shared this with you before, many times you could actually have a sermon about each verse, because encapsulated in one proverb, one verse, it is a whole thought and idea, complete idea, contrast between righteous and wicked and so forth. And but if we did just one verse a week, it would take 32,000 years. Gross exaggeration, but the Lord's kind of leading to take some chunks, and so we want to take a look at 7 verses today, and let's start with verse 8, and it says this: the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked comes in his stead. The NIV translation, I believe, is the best on that last part of the clause, is that the trouble that the righteous
are delivered from, that ends up being put on the wicked instead. And so that's a very heavy thought, and it wants us to really pray to be a great witness to those that are outside the will of God, so that the troubles won't remain, but they'll be part of the community of believers, believing in God, looking to the Lord, and being able to escape those troubles, to be delivered from those troubles. I think of Psalm 46:1. It says that God is our refuge or hiding place and strength, and he's a very present help in the time of trouble. So when you're in trouble, where is God? God is moving in to your presence. He's a very present help to help you in the time of trouble. That is his role when trouble happens. And so I look to him to be my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, which we have from Psalm 18, because that's what the Bible teaches. He's in love with us. Now, many of us go through many troubles. In fact, the next verse I wanted to quote to you is Psalm 34:19, that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Would you agree with that? Do you, hands showing that have many afflictions in your life? Okay, yeah, there it is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. All of them, A-double-L, all of those afflictions you will be delivered out of if you know and love him, you're looking to him for his help, allowing him to be a very present help in your trouble. And so I thank God for this verse and the blessings there. As you know, we just got back from visiting our son John in Colorado, and he has many troubles, terrible troubles. And I'm not going to list them all to you, but just that I think most of you know, he has muscular dystrophy, and he's in pain a lot of the time of each day and through the night. So he struggles with that trouble along with many others. As we got there, he said, Dad, I need to sit down and talk to you. Something happened to me 3 Thursday nights ago that I've just got to share with you. And he says, I've been praying to have the words to share what went down on that night. It's the most fantastic night I've ever had in my entire life. So I was so anxious to hear what he had to say. And there, among all of his troubles, the Lord came and met him in his bed, and actually he laughed with Jesus for 6 hours. 6 hours. Just because the Lord said enough with the burden and the oppression of these troubles. The Lord is there. He is present in your trouble. And so he began to describe to me how the hairs on his head stood up and how he could feel the joy and the peace of the Lord from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, and he couldn't stop laughing. And he had to go to the bathroom. He went in the bathroom and he looked in the mirror and he was glowing. And he couldn't stop smiling. And so he just went back and kept enjoying Jesus. And he said it was like, actually, and this is what I thought and shared with him afterwards, that he was caught up to the third heaven, like the Apostle Paul in where the Apostle Paul heard things told to him that it would be unlawful to even try to describe. Because he kept saying that, I don't have words. He said if God was to come down from heaven and hug him, it wouldn't have been as joyous and as blessed as this. Every cell in his body, and the disease that he has is mitochondria. It's a form of muscular dystrophy that his cells in his body are actually eating each other or whatever. The power is leaving his body through this disease. But every cell in his body said was rejoicing in Jesus. And he saw, amen, praise God. So just the beauty of knowing that just the time you need him, he'll always be here. The Lord is there. And then my dad was in heaven and John saw him there. There was no weirdo communication that's not of the Lord with the dead, you know, kind of thing. But he saw my dad there and my mom. And they're both in heaven, his grandparents, and that's the first time in his entire life he's ever seen them together. They were divorced when I was two, and he lived in Pennsylvania. My mom lived here on the West Coast, and so John had never, ever seen them together, and God was giving him a hope that at least he and his wife will be together in heaven to, of course, not be in the marriage state as we know it, because we're told that the angels are not given in marriage, and neither will we be in heaven, but just the unity, again, of the Spirit. And so the rejoicing was tremendous, and just laughing and joy with the Lord. So I just wanted to share that with you. I was so blessed with it. I can't put it in words. I mean, he couldn't put it in words. I can't put it in words. But it just was that blessing. Now, you see, the Lord, that's who he is. If you're in trouble, and the bigger trouble you're in, the closer that God will be to you. I remember a testimony from Calvary Costa Mesa from years ago, this dear girl. She was really, really sick and in bed continually for 10 years. But the Lord came to her in very intimate ways in those times to encourage her and bless her in that 10-year sickness. Well, the Lord healed her, and she got up out of that sick bed, and now she's normal. How can I say normal? Normal is just a setting on the dryer. That's what normal is. It's just a setting on the dryer. All the rest of us are just out there somewhere, But anyway, she got back to health and was able to walk around. And she said, you know what was going on with her is that many times she would go by her bed and remember her sickness and almost wish that she was back in that bed, because the intimacy and the closeness with Jesus was so awesome. And you know, the Lord just knows how to do that. And I want to encourage you and me again. We're not going to face anything that Jesus doesn't walk through with us. He's a very, very present help in the time of trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Beautiful. And so now we read the second part again, that actually the poor wicked, we have to keep praying for the wicked and keep trying to stay away from wickedness ourselves, of course, to be sharpened with that. That the trouble that is the righteous is delivered from will actually come upon the wicked instead. And so a kind of sobering thought there. Now in verse 9, and here in verse 9 we enter a subject that there's three verses actually in these seven verses we're going to look at today that have to do with this subject. Very important subject for our spiritual health. So verse 9 says this, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Now a hypocrite is a person that says one thing and does another. It's kind of an actor. It actually comes from the word hypocrite, from the Greek, which is in the New Testament, and we'll see it in the New Testament in a minute, but it means, and that hypocrite was an actor. And so it's kind of a fake love going on, but with the mouth behind the scenes, destroying his neighbor, telling untruths many times, and getting that out and into amongst friends, amongst people. And this, of course, is one of the terrible things that God wants to take care of in the world. When I was listening to Pastor Chuck's commentary on this section of Scripture, I was moved. because Pastor Chuck, when he read this verse, and it was on the CD, you know, I was listening to his study to prepare for this sermon as a part of the commentary that I use, and he just began to moan. Pastor Chuck just went, oh, oh, the tongue, the tongue. What we can do with the tongue, destroy people with lies, innuendos, twisting the words, this kind of thing is just so hurtful, so devastating to your neighbor or to you as the neighbor if the person is actually using their mouth to destroy you. Now, you know, I wanted to think of some examples of that in folks that have limelight. It seems to me that the more you're in the limelight, the more of this you'll get. And actually, Sherry and I were rejoicing this last week or the week before then that our church is well hidden. We're in this cul-de-sac in the middle of nowhere, and people have actually stumbled onto us. I had one brother share with me, I've been looking for your church for 9 years. And he lives over there on East Street, you know, because it's just hard to find. But we're not in the limelight like many others that have to probably suffer more than we do. I know that Pastor Chuck shared with us one time that when the ministry started exploding at Costa Mesa, that there was this one guy that later on he was found to be unstable in his thinking. You know, he was like one taco short of a combo plate. And now there's a new one for you, huh? No, you heard that one already. But he started this rumor that Pastor Chuck actually took $8 million from the Akumulati, which is a satanic group, to go ahead and start getting rock music into the church. And what really hurt Chuck wasn't so much as this weirdo was teaching this, but that he had heard tapes of him speaking at churches that wanted to feel better because the Spirit wasn't moving quite as heavy with them at that time as it was through Costa Mesa at the Jesus movement time. So he heard people laughing and clapping at this guy and believing it, this lie. And so it was hurtful. And so he knows where that kind of thing feels like. He knows about that. And so in probably lesser ways for the rest of us, we'll have to struggle with this thing also. But it was kind of big for Pastor Chuck. And it was neat because they arrested this guy. He was actually did some illegal things, found in a cave in the desert and arrested. And so it was proved to be a bunch of malarkey, of course. And of course, we know that. That actually, when we went to the Air Force Academy church, the chapel at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, there were Calvary Chapel songs that we were singing today. Actually used by the Air Force cadets in church. So God has done a mighty work there, and of course we know that's a bunch of baloney, salami, you know. So, good. Anyway, so I was thinking about other things, and my wife and I are blessed in being able to read a book right now called Decision Points by President Bush. And of course, President Bush talks about the major decisions in his life. And the first one is how he accepted Christ as his Savior. He was up at Pittsbunkport. I probably said that wrong. It's in Maine, and it's a beach house that the Bush family has in Maine. And Billy Graham happened to be visiting his father, who was then the President of the United States, George Bush Sr. And Billy Graham said to young George, who was then somewhat of an alcoholic and a party guy, and really wasn't stable in his life yet, you know. Billy Graham said, George, could you take a walk with me on the beach? And so he did. They were walking together along the beach, and Billy Graham just started sharing the gospel with George, and George bowed his head, said the sinner's prayer, and gave his life to Christ. And then he started going to Bible study fellowship, which was to study the Bible intensely, and that's where he was grounded in the Word. And God just loving his heart, and then the decision to give up the drinking and to be delivered from that and begin to walk in the Lord. And God sure used him and took him places, didn't he? The governor of Texas and then the President of the United States. And so what a great testimony in that decision point that was made. What happened in one of the negative things that happened to him after he got going in the presidency is that a major anchor of a news network that's nationwide came after him and actually began to give reports that President Bush was a bad soldier and didn't do his duty when he was in the National Guard, and had a document that he showed on the TV against him. But in the course of time, it was proved that this was a falsified document, that someone in our time actually did the document and tried to make it look old and everything just to bring down President Bush. So that was a very hairy thing that he experienced. But the Lord brought out the truth, praise the Lord, and that anchor man that gave that false report and didn't really do his job as a journalist with integrity to really search a matter out, actually was dismissed from his job. And that is actually an example of verse 8, as I read it again, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, that actually George Bush was innocent in that situation, and the wicked, who had brought this hypocritical destruction thing about him, came upon him instead, for he was let go of his job as anchor man of that major network and is just not working now. So we see that example in our society. Also with George Bush Sr., and I mention him now, and this is information from the book we're reading, is that he was the president before George Jr., and there was the accusation that was actually pretty much accepted among Christians. Oh man, we never want to be there. And I remember when I heard this information in the late 80s about George Bush Sr., somehow it just didn't bear witness. He's a war hero. He was shot down in a fighter trying to keep our freedom in the South Pacific, and a great man of God and a good friend of Billy Graham's. The rumor was that he belonged to an organization called the Trilateral Commission. Maybe some of you will remember this. And that he was connected with the group that was trying to bring in a one-world government. And that because we're Christians and we know about the Antichrist, that he will eventually rule a one-world government. All the Christians kind of got up in arms against George Bush Sr. because he was like connected somehow to the Antichrist and the movement to get Antichrist in. And so George Bush Jr. shares that in his book. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that people were believing that of his father, that risked his life and was shot down in a fighter plane to protect our freedom. And so that went around in the late 80s, and I remember of even being somewhat a part of that. And you know, you think, man, we gotta watch it, don't we? Let's say that together. Watch it. Watch it. Be careful of the things you pass on and try to tell to others. It's dangerous and to, you know, accept these things that would destroy someone, destroy him from being elected again. And those kinds of thoughts, you get the whole Christian community against somebody for a lie. And so very sobering ideas here. How are you delivered through this? Let's go on to the second part of this verse. In verse 9, it says, but through knowledge, and we've talked a lot about knowledge in Proverbs, wisdom and understanding, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Now, there's two things I'd like to share with you about that. Number one is that the truth will always come out. People will know. There's something about the human spirit that can dig it all out. I'm going to find out if this is true or not. They even have an internet site now. I don't know how many of you know about it. But if you hear something and you want to know if it's really true or not, you go to this internet site and you push check this out. I guess. I've never been on the internet much. So then they tell you, no, well, that's just a rumor. You know, got started here and so forth. And so that's an idea, really, for us to do. You know, concerning these leaders that are among us. And so knowledge, so important. Jesus spoke about this very specifically and actually using the word hypocrisy, which verse 9 began with. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Now let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Jesus here in verse 1 of Luke 12 is warning the people about hypocrisy and actually using the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time, as an example. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now leaven, they were to eat unleavened bread, and keep the feast with unleavened bread. The unleavened bread, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. Don't let the leaven of being insincere and not being truthful sneak into your life. And then he says, which is hypocrisy. That's what hypocrisy is. To destroy people with our mouths, and there's no truth to it. And then he says this, and this is where the knowledge part comes in. And this is very comforting for those of you that might suffer with this at work or wherever. It says this, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. In other words, your sin will find you out. So I never want to be involved in any kind of this business. The Lord just says, you know, through knowledge, the just shall be delivered, because it will be found out. It will be shouted from the rooftops, and all of it will be known. And so this is a very precious thing that you that might suffer from being falsely accused or whatever. We see it in our presidents, the deliverance there, and we see it among the Bible heroes and the blessings that come from the truth being known. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is a great blessing. So where does that bring us? Well, I'd like to now go to one of our favorite leaders in the Bible, besides Jesus. Of course, he's our great leader, King David. Now, King David was the king of Israel. And so he's up there and probably above the bushes. And so he really got it. I mean, well, actually, he spoke from the burning bush. So there you go. King David had so much of this in his reign in Israel, so much of dealing with enemies that were after him for no reason. And of course, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And that truly is the truth. So King David had his fair share. But in examining King David's reaction, we can see and understand what we should do in these cases. How should we act? What do? You buy a grenade and go sit on the person's roof and wait till they come out, you know? No. Let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. So King David brings an emotional response to all of these attacks, and we can imagine. I mean, if you and I, as just normal folks, receive these kinds of things, how much more these public figures? And so here in Psalm 56, David pours out his heart before the Lord, and there is our first answer. He goes to God. You have to go to God with it. You gotta. Yeah, you just can't try to defend yourself. Pastor Chuck said at the last pastor's conference, he says, you know what? He says, God will let you defend yourself. But it's so much better to let him defend you. And that there's peace in that. You don't have to get all reared up and prepare your statements and kick and scream. And just let God. So we read David here. David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they are many that fight against me, O thou Most High." And I think of King Saul and his rage of jealousy against David. Actually threw a javelin at him several times and really wanted to kill him. And then I think of Ahithophel, one of David's chief counselors, turned against him with David's son Absalom. But the Lord spared him. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Yeah. "Lord, I'm just afraid that, you know, I'm going to be destroyed. My character is going to be destroyed through all this. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Every day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In your anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" So that commitment to the Lord. And this is a great verse. We quote it a lot, that the Lord actually puts all of our tears in his bottle in heaven. He knows what you're suffering. He knows. But he also knows how to take care of it. He's a great big God. And so the submission to him, I picture and I think of Jesus again when he was threatened by Pilate. Pilate got kind of mad at him. He said, "Don't you know that I have power over you to crucify you or to let you go?" And Jesus simply said, "You would have no power if it wasn't given to you from above." And he committed himself, 1 Peter chapter 2, to him that judges righteously. Just a commitment to the Lord. Leave it in God's hands. And so this is our David, our king, our example. "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" And therein is deliverance and peace, because he is the deliverer. I remember years ago, there was a group in the church that was really mad at me, and they wrote a letter and sent it to everybody in the church. What a terrible pastor I was. And the Lord began to speak to me in these ways, you know, just cry out to him, leave it in his hands. And it was amazing. Well, we got some counsel from Pastor Romain down at Costa Mesa. One of the elders here, Mike Scoggins, he's still here with us. He's actually here right now. But he went down to see Pastor Romain, and he just shared the whole situation with him about this group that is coming against me and writing bad letters. And Pastor Romain just sat back in his chair and started laughing. And he just said, "You know what? God's going to smite those guys for doing this." And that's exactly what happened. And so we can feel sorry for those that would begin to want to despise their neighbor, to strike out at their neighbor, because God will take care of it. He will. So the prayers is the answer. The prayers to the Lord, to the righteous judge. God, you just take care of this, and pray for your enemies. And seek after the Lord for those that would despitefully use you and persecute you, and let God take care of it. So I love David. I love that he writes these things in the Bible. And Psalm 57 is the same subject. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And you know what? They always pass. Always. It's amazing as God takes care of these things. And so the way of peace, the way of peace. Now, there's two more verses on this subject which confirm what I'm sharing with you through King David. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 12 and 13. Now 12 says this, verse 12. He that is void of wisdom, doesn't have any wisdom at all, despises his neighbor. This hatred is developed against a neighbor. We might be on either side of that. But it's never God's will for you to speak evil about anybody. That's what it says in the New Testament. Speak evil of no man. You just keep looking at the Lord. Just keep looking at the Lord. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. But a man of understanding, what does he do? Holds his peace. So the first thing is to go to God. Second thing is hold your peace. Keep your peace. When Jesus told the disciples to go two by two from door to door, they would come to a house, and if the house would receive them, they would go in and let their peace come upon the house. But if they were rejected, then they were instructed, don't let this bother you. Just let your peace return to you and move on. And that's what we got to do in these situations, is just keep our peace. Don't allow ourselves to return in kind, or to get into the idea and the hatred, the bitterness, and all that business with the wicked. And so, hold your peace. The man of understanding will hold his peace. Now, verse 13 confirms that again. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Look to God, hold your peace, conceal the matter. And just think about flowers and good waves and all the great things in the world. And just let it go, you know. And this is the way of wisdom. And we see this from the Lord. And it's a blessed thing. So thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you for this word. All righty. Now let's go on to a different subject. Let's go to verses 10 and 11. And so this will be the second subject we'll look at. And it says this in verse 10, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Yay! There's a shouting that goes up when those that are doing very wicked things perish. Then there's happiness about that. And there's happy when it goes well with the righteous. With the righteous, the city is well. Well, it goes well with the when it goes well with the righteous, this city rejoices. You know, I thought of an example of this, and Ray is here with us today. I don't want to embarrass you, Ray, at all. You don't have to stand up or anything. But he served in Iraq for us, and we appreciate him so much for doing that. Yeah, amen. Yeah. There is a chaplain that worked with the Marine Corps guys. And came from Kuwait and went up to Baghdad. He made the whole trip in the first wave. And the city, and of course the Iraqis were under complete total bondage under Saddam Hussein. And one of the things that Saddam Hussein had done is that those people didn't agree with him. He took their children and put them in a prison. And on the way up to Baghdad, Captain Kerry Cassius, unit, and you can read this book. It's a really good book. It really lifts up the Lord and things God did in the war. It's called In the Presence of My Enemies. And they came to that prison, the Marines. And what a blessing. All of the relatives knew the Marines were coming. Dun, 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 dun. You know, just picture John Wayne, you know. Ooh, gives me goosebumps. Anyway. So people knew that their kids were in this prison, and they knew the Marines were coming. And so they all came to the prison just waiting outside for their kids. And they're just waiting and hoping, and you know, that the wicked would get theirs and there'd be some deliverance here. So the Marines stormed the prison, and all the kids came running out to meet their family members. It doesn't get any better than that. And the whole city went crazy with joy. You see your little tyke coming out? You haven't seen him? And so the Bible is true again, isn't it? When the righteous come in, the city rejoices. And it's always been true, always will be true. This is the word of God. These verses were written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. And so about 900, I'm rounding off. And so what a blessing. Now, the next verse is also about that subject. It says, verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it says here, the but comes in there. Where am I? Okay. Verse 11. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And there's the mouth again. This is a bad city and all that stuff. You know, it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So it is such a great thing to have a mayor of Anaheim like Kirk Pringle. And I know that the mayor that was just elected is one of Kirk Pringle's best friends. And they've been very close for years. So I'm really hoping, have my spiritual fingers crossed, that this new mayor, too, is a righteous man. Kirk Pringle loves the Lord. He has had and passed mayor's prayer breakfast every year. Pastor Bill was frequented that mayor's prayer breakfast for years because he worked with Disneyland before he came to be with us and got involved with a table every year, many tables for Disney employees. And so the businessmen of the city, they all go to this prayer breakfast, and everybody dresses up in ties and all that. And it's a very large group. One year, I actually saw Carl Karcher there, the beginner who began the company of Carl's Jr. How can I forget that? It's like Black Beauty, you know, Carl's Jr. But loves the Lord, loves God. But at one of these prayer breakfasts, it was such a blessing. They had somebody from Washington, D.C. come in that really knew the Lord. And at the end of his talk about the Lord, he said, you know, now I would like to lead you all in the sinner's prayer. Man, I think I might have gone through the roof with joy on that one. Actually had us pray the sinner's prayer at the mayor's prayer breakfast. Talk about exalting and being blessed. And to renew my vows before the Lord through the sinner's prayer. And then also know that God was moving through the speech and the blessing of this powerful person from Washington, D.C., helping the people find Jesus Christ. And so what a wonderful thing. So for years, we've been rejoicing in our city, in Anaheim. And maybe some of you didn't know these things about your mayor. But the city of Anaheim has truly been blessed. With the togetherness with God, with people in high places. So we're thankful to the Lord, thankful. I read verse 11, right? By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, just one more verse I wanted to share with you today, verse 14. And this is a great exhortation for all of us. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. If you just don't get any counsel from the Lord, you will fall. But in the multitude of God's counselors, there is safety. There is safety to consider with others that know and love Jesus what your next move is. And especially if you're confused or you just don't know what to do next. Now, we do need to be careful to not misunderstand this exhortation, and this exhortation is so important that it's three more times in Proverbs. Three more times in Proverbs, the exact same thing is said. That in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All of us have Christian friends that love Jesus. You might get real emotional and uptight and into some kind of tight place where you don't know what to think, you're confused, and you can go to your buddies that are not involved emotionally in this decision. And really get a consensus from the Holy Spirit in and through those counselors that you can trust and you know they know the Lord well. Now, in going to a multitude of counselors, watch out for this trick from the enemy. That you want to do something that you know is wrong because God's shown you that this is wrong. You can't do this. But you want to do it so bad, you start going from counselor to counselor and from pastor to pastor saying, what do you think about this? These 100 guys, they don't like it. But I might get lucky today. Pastor, can you agree with me on this? And then you just find that one person that's got itching ears and wants to tell you what you want to hear. And then you go, yeah, it's great, we can do this, because I finally found a counselor that'll agree with me on it. Watch out for that. When we go for counsel, we have to go with the right heart, that we really want to learn, we really want to hear what God would say in and through this person. And you eat the chicken, you throw out the bones, and let God speak to you. And of course, we always go first and foremost to the chief counselor, right? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Oh, yes. And so we speak to the Lord, and we kind of come full circle back to David. David spoke to the Lord. I want to hear from God. I want to know what you're thinking, Lord. And then God will bring that wisdom. God will bring that anointing. And the brothers and sisters around us that we know and love that have been our counselors will help us so much. And it is a wonder and a magical miracle that God does. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together and have this wonderful group come back and we can worship the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It sure enough does straighten everything out. And Lord, we just want to pray that we would be studying to show ourselves approved, good workmen unto you, Lord. That we wouldn't be ashamed, Lord. But God, that we'd have your instruction, direction at all times. So we thank you for that, Father. And, you know, mentioning the sinner's prayer today, I just want to lead us in that sinner's prayer again. I think the Lord would just want us to renew our vows before him. And if you haven't accepted Christ yet in your heart, you're still kind of out there struggling, and you've just been running, and the Lord just wants to say, oh, come on, home, come home. Experience the abundant life with Jesus Christ. We do have to confess our sin. We do have to make tough decisions to forsake it in our hearts. And so let's say this prayer, and if you mean this in your heart, you'll be coming to Jesus and giving him open time in your heart to begin that change. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need your help. Please come into me and save me. And thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you accepted Jesus today as your Savior, be sure to tell somebody, because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven and all of his holy angels. The Lord wants to do that. He wants to be with you and working with you and meeting you and be present in any sorrow you have to face. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.